Faith and Freedom Show, going to talk about the issues of the day. On a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong, our number here is 850-1872. You can check us out, live video stream at faithfreedoms.org at your leisure. Always, 24 hours a day, LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com is audio stream of these Liberty Works Radio Network's broadcast. We're here to serve you. We're not self-serving, we hope. We're trying to entertain. We try to lighten things up. We could just sit around and rant and rave about our opinions about what the constitutional basis, the biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. The goal, though, is to do it in such a way that we can get it precept by precept, slowly, enjoy it, take our time with it. You can give us a call, ask us questions. In fact, I learn a lot from my callers. I find that our callers happen to be, a lot of them are folks that are studying things. Some people have great disagreement with what I have to say and are well-read, who study things or are passionate about what they believe, what they think. We get some good calls. We really do. You know what we don't necessarily get a lot of that you're going to see on a lot of mainstream talk radio stations is kind of this, hey, man, repeat what the last guy said without taking anybody else's coined phrases. Hey, man, you're the best, man. You're great. Thanks for saving us, man. You know, I mean, we get a little of that. I've had some things at the end of conversations. People said thank you. I've had people on the break when we take a break after talking to a caller who personally say what they appreciate about what we're doing here. So we're here for you. I'm a Christian extremist. I love God and love my neighbor as myself. That's what Christian extremists do. So if you hate Christians, well, that's your problem. Okay. Now, you do judge a tree by its fruit. And I got to be careful. I got to tell you that in my normal life personality, I don't go around trying to provoke people. I really do try to go around loving my neighbor as myself to de-escalate in hostile situations. I will tell you, though, if there's going to be a abuse of my neighbor, I will tend to do whatever I got to do to make sure I protect the least of these. And so sometimes that's happened. But as far as just getting along without saying things that really tick people off, I don't really try to do that. I try to let people get by encouraging them, exhorting them with words of kindness and stuff like that. But I do say things on this radio show because I try to dispel. There's people that are giving you wrong information. I mean, there's some things that are just being conveyed to you over time that you're just been steeped and marinated into deception, in the stew of deception. And so sometimes I say stuff and it just seems nuts. We had, Brian Moore, one of the local guys, when we were talking to him, I'll give him a plug, votebrianmoore.com. Check out what he thinks on votebrianmoore.com. And he's community-minded, and I don't mean like, he's a guy that, I think he's got a great intention to love his neighbor as himself. He has been, at a younger age of time, been steeped in a humanist, and I think he said that Jesus was a humanist. No, he wasn't. He's not a humanist. He didn't elevate humans. You elevate Almighty God. In fact, the only person he elevated in the flesh was himself. If I be lifted all up, I'll draw all men unto me. I think he's the only man he elevated. Something to think about. Okay, I want to get back to this goofy thing I was talking about just before the break. I read something from WJOPC.com, and these lawyers who are representing people. I said too much. I'll try to get out of that. Representing people, and there are different cases I brought up, things that they filed in the Supreme Court, and there was this one case, this article that one of the lawyers there wrote, and he said the Iowa governor has a constitutional duty. That means he can be compelled under the law to act. And this is how he's supposed to act, not to enforce the Iowa Supreme Court's opinion. So I asked my listeners before we went on the break, how does this hit you? What are the kind of things that you think? I'm going to read this one more time. Herb Titus recently wrote two op-ed articles arguing that the Iowa governor has a constitutional duty not to enforce the Iowa Supreme Court's opinion that the state constitution requires that the state's law defining marriage must be redefined to include same-sex couples. Several things pop out at me. I don't know what pops out in your mind. 888-850-1872. I will tell you that several things hit me at once. So I'm going to bring it up. And obviously, if you disagree or agree, you can call. I'd prefer disagreement just for fun. I guess it's to burn calories. Iowa governor, it's the executive. He's supposed to execute the law according to the Constitution. He executes the law. That's revealed law. Yes, he's accountable to God. He gives an oath before God to faithfully execute, to faithfully uphold the law of Iowa. And so his obligation is to Almighty God. He also then, if the legislature passes positive law, they call it positive law, those little statutes tell people how to operate. If they do not violate the big Almighty God law, then he can execute it because it's according to the Constitution. The Constitution of Iowa enables the legislature to pass certain positive laws or mechanisms to carry out law and things like that. And they're the ones that decide how it's going to happen. The governor makes sure he faithfully executes that law. Unless it's contrary to the big law, to Almighty God, then it's and contrary to the Constitution. Because of his oath, he is not supposed to obey the legislature. His oath isn't to them. It's uphold the law. They do not determine what law is. Law is. They're supposed to, according to law, enact what is called positive law, which is really just the mechanisms of carrying out law that already is. How's that to blow your brain cells? So his oath is to the Constitution. And obviously, he's always accountable to God because of his oath. He's not accountable to the Supreme Court of Iowa. They're supposed to determine between causes that come to their court, between two parties. This guy brings a case. This is the party. Now, I'll tell you what. There may be a court next week that disagrees, have the same facts, different parties, maybe the same parties, different occasion, could decide something else. I mean, they're all trying to figure it out. But if the Supreme Court comes up with opinion that says the state constitution requires, now that'd be interesting to see what that does. Now, by the way, the state constitution can't require anything that violates Almighty God's laws, by the way. They can't do it. It's unlawful. In American law, it's just they recognize that there's revealed law, then natural law, then positive law, and that authority structure. State constitution requires that the state's law defining marriage must be redefined. How does a court redefine something that the legislature does? Isn't it the legislature's job to redefine? It's not the governor's job to redefine. It's not the court's job to redefine. That's not their job. They're supposed to enforce law between parties. And if there's no parties, there's no standing in their court, then they shouldn't even bother wasting their time on it. They have no authority nor jurisdiction to visit something. But so my first thought is Mr. Titus says that the governor of Iowa is supposed to not enforce a Supreme Court opinion. He has a duty to not enforce the Supreme Court opinion. He has a duty to oppose what the Supreme Court is doing. Is that true? Does that seem not fair? Does that not seem right? Is that not, what about the checks and balances? Checks and balances. So that's just something that's out here on this WJOPC.com website. And so, again, I just went to these guys' website, and I thought, this stuff ought to be mainstream news because it is so important, and it's in this little website closet about their own law practice. There was a writ of certiorari. I have certiorari filed in U.S. Supreme Court on August 28, 2009. They said that their firm, William J. Olson, P.C., filed a petition for certiorari with the United States Supreme Court on behalf of Army Reservist David Olofsson, urging the court to grant certiorari to review the Seventh Circuit decision affirming his conviction. And this is that case I was telling you about before. He was sentenced to prison for 30 months for transferring. Now, what does this make you think of? Transferring a machine gun, which really was a lawful-to-own semi-automatic AR-15 rifle, which occasionally manifested a hammer-follow malfunction, resulting in short bursts followed by jamming. It's not something you could rely on or would ever want to use if you were actually using a weapon. That's my opinion. I mean, you get yourself in a lot of trouble, you get hurt, and it's just not going to work for you. The prosecutor tried the case on the theory that a firearm's malfunction is no defense. Any weapon which fires more than one round with a single pull of the trigger is a machine gun under the National Firearms Act, no matter what the cause. That's not what the statute says, but that's what they prosecuted the guy under. So that means that essentially any gun that, whether functioning or not, fires a second round, has a hammer follow malfunction, can slam somebody in federal penitentiary for 30 months. Yep, that's interesting. Now, by the way, if you do go to the Heller versus District of Columbia recent U.S. Supreme Court case, it was a D.C. gun ban law, and they shot it down. Okay, and what it was is the government had claimed there was this case, I think it was the Miller case, I'm going to have to double check that, where there was this case out west, I think it was Oklahoma or something, where the guy was transferring a sawed-off shotgun across lines, different state lines, and they said, oh, you can't, you know, it was talking about, it had to do with the militia provision of the Second Amendment, all this kind of stuff. Well, essentially, in Heller versus D.C., the court determined that back in that other case and in the current case, that the proper kind of lawful weapon that a person could have and protected by the Second Amendment was weapons made for the militia. And what happened is the guy in Oklahoma or Texas, wherever he was carrying this thing, that a sawed-off shotgun is not a militia weapon. It's not appropriate. It's not authorized. So, I mean, theoretically, why couldn't somebody own a machine gun? Oh, this law was transferring a machine gun. Maybe there's some paperwork. So the law they supposedly violated was transferring. Hey, this is not a machine gun, but I'm going to let you use it, and it does a hammer follow misfire. Could be faulty operator, faulty whatever. I don't know. But either way, he transferred a machine gun supposedly, which he really didn't. But that's what they convicted him for. If it truly was a machine gun, it's a militia weapon. So under the D.C. versus Heller, it's a militia weapon. So I guess the law breaking was the transferring, letting somebody use it. Now, the problem is, I'm going to get these guys here on an interview. It may be that the original defense team didn't raise that, didn't say, what's the definition of transfer? Because these are just little minute administrative crimes. We're going to administrate this into a crime. So if you're going to administrate it into the crime, you had better do it right. I don't know that the transfer definition ever came up in the defense. So what I'm going to try to do is get these guys here and so we can talk about the case itself, which they did not originally defend. They took it up on appeal, and they're having to fix somebody else's problems. In fact, bless their heart, they've had to do that with me at times. And I had something with mine that I did by myself that, bless the Lord, some folks fixed. I had a lawyer who knew what he was doing. Fix it. It turns out he didn't say anything that I didn't say. And the case actually was a victory for us. But he put it into the right words, the right format, and things like that. Kind of cleaned it up so somebody would be willing to read it. We're going to come back with this Faith and Freedom show. We're going to talk about the issues of the day. And I do want to get back to that marriage thing. The same-sex couples. I forgot to mention that. Get back with the constitutional basis, the biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Tune in. Give us a call, 888-850-1872. And check us out online at faithfreedoms.org. Give us feedback. We'll even post it to the internet.